This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny stretch run on a Friday. We are with you until 6:30 at Fairfax Corners. Awesome location, Craft House Fairfax out here. Big parking lot, plenty of parking. You are in traffic or in the area, you got another 30 minutes to stop in and come say hello. It's been great to get out and about again on a field trip Friday and hang out with some listeners. The show is brought to you by our friends Kondori and Murad. They're the exclusive sponsor of this program. They'll guide you through the process of managing health care, financial power of attorney, even securing a guardianship if need be for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Got a great sports weekend shaping up. College football tomorrow. The NFL on Sunday. Of course, the Wizards have a game in Mexico City tomorrow against the Miami
That's cool.
That's going to be pretty neat. They're looking for a third straight win, believe it or not. I still can't believe they beat the Hawks twice. The Hawks must be really, really bad.
Yeah, the Hawks might scuffle a little bit, I guess.
That's my guess on that. The Capitals have been rolling. We were talking earlier about Alex Ovechkin scoring his fifth goal of the season in just game number 9. They hung 6 on Montreal last night. They've got a 5 o'clock puck drop at home tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're frisky. They're probably better than their record, but that's another team that the Caps, if they play well, should beat. And that would give them a chance to be 8-2 going into a showdown with Carolina on Sunday. They play both Saturday and Sunday this weekend, so chance for 4 more points for the Caps.
Yeah, I hate back-to-backs in general in the NHL, especially for a veteran team like Washington. Their early season schedule is always so inconsistent, it's tough to get in a rhythm, right, where it's, you know, other teams have played 3 or 4 games, and it's like a game, then 5 days off, then they play twice in 2 days. But yeah, as you get into the rhythm of the season, you're going to have to go through those grinding-type periods, as Washington is about to do here this weekend.
Nats, quiet post-World Series, no movement in Major League Baseball until 5 days after the series, although that reminds me, man, there needs to be a font or like a color you can use on your tweets to show sarcasm. Because I would think that obvious jokes are obviously jokes.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know if you saw this. The World Series ended, I don't remember what time, but let's just say hypothetically at 11:15 the other night. Dodgers get the big strikeout from Walker Buehler. They beat the Yankees. They're the World Series champions. 3 minutes, maybe, tops, after that, I tweet, oh, my God, the Nats still haven't signed anybody. What are they waiting for? This was my fear. They're lacking aggressiveness.
That's a good zing.
Now, you can't actually sign anybody yet. The period isn't open. It hasn't started. The joke was, it's been 3 minutes of offseason. The World Series just happened. So I tweeted that out. I thought it was funny. I didn't think about it after that. I went to bed. Wrote it down in my journal. I laughed about it later. The next day, I get on Twitter. All my responses are people, like, upset at me or telling me, like, calm down. I'm going, what are they referencing? I haven't even been on Twitter today.
Like, I'm not very uncalm.
And now I click on it and remember. They're all angry that I'm upset at the Nationals for not spending money yet and or mad that I don't know the rules that they can't spend money yet. Come on, guys. We It's not always fun. On this spinning rock, we got to have a little enjoyment. We can mix it up and smirk and smile and make a joke every now and then, can't we?
Did it ever occur to
anybody?
It's
going to be okay. Like, I mean, there were probably, Danny, five people among dozens of responses that were like, you guys know this is a joke, right? But no, the answer is no.
Most people didn't. Like, do you think as you're going about it, do you think it ever occurred to them, I wonder if he's kidding, or were they too busy just firing away?
No. Nobody,
you know what I mean?
I can tell you that nobody that responded to me thought that.
Okay.
They're very, very upset, most of them. Although I will say that is my concern, and I think they're going to spend like...
Yeah, I think you can retweet that in March.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting ahead of it.
Yeah.
For those of you wondering if Juan Soto's coming back, the answer is no.
No, how about no?
Although it was funny to me to see Juan Soto addressing the media after he cleaned out his locker with the Yankees. And he said, like, yeah, I loved it here. This was the best. They're like, you want to be a Yankee, right? And I'm paraphrasing. But Juan Soto said, hey, to any team listening, I'm willing to play for you. Like, you got to understand. Washington found this out. San Diego found this out. And the Yankees are finding this out. He is not here for your hometown discount. I don't care how many good memories he has. Won a World Series here. Hasn't won a World Series anywhere else, for that matter. He is not here to make more memories because he liked it there that one time.
Yep.
Do you have the most money?
Are you offering the most?
Are you going to break records and give him that money? If the answer is yes, Juan Soto will sign and pay for you. That's kind of the extent of the negotiation.
Yeah, the hometown discount is not a thing. That is the new town discount, and that's not a thing either. It's the most commas, the most digits. That's where he's going.
What's the opposite of the hometown discount? The new...
The hometown markup?
The new town markup.
Yeah. The inflation?
Crazy. But that's a quick lay of the land around the sports landscape as we get you ready for the Commanders. All right, let's wind down the conversation here and get into our predictions at the end of this broadcast. Let's start with, what would a win for Washington mean over the Giants to get to 7-2 on the season? What would a win mean?
It really means that the longer you are doing this thing, and we're sort of talking about this last couple of segments, the longer you are the thing, the more it just is that's who you are. It's not a fluke. It's not a good start anymore. It's a good season, right? It went from, hey, that's a good beginning, or he got off to a great hot start, or Jaden Daniels has played well through this number of games. It's just that Jaden Daniels is good. It's just that this offense is good. It's like the defense not only has improved recently, it's a good defense. It means that not only are people buying in to the beginning, it means they're buying in for real. It turns into a season. It turns into your identity. It's who you are. 7-2 is not something you can take away. I know how they got there. It required a couple good breaks. I would point to most teams as they're going through their season. In order to have a great record, you would need a couple of things to break right and break your way, etc. They've had good fortune when it comes to turnovers and not having lost a ton of fumbles and a million other things that have broken right. But it's not all accidental. There's a lot of good things that are happening, and it would simply mean that it's not a good start anymore. It's who they are.
Yeah, I think all of that is where I'm at. The only thing I would add maybe is if they beat the Giants and they're 7-2, I will take some solace and file away that they now played a team for a second time that has seen Cliff Kingsbury, their offense, Daniels, got to go back to the drawing board, tried to mix some potions and figure out how to stop them, and they still had success and beat them. That's the one part I think of this matchup that we have not done a good enough job talking about. And maybe collectively in town, there hasn't been enough discourse on. Danny, this is the first time you're playing a team twice.
Mm-hmm.
There is this belief by the detractors that Kingsbury is going to get found out. Or that Jaden Daniels is off to this super hot start, but he's a young guy and he's going to regress. And eventually, he's not going to play at this level. Well, don't you think that a team that's already played them once knows how they react to what you do and how they don't react to the things you're throwing at them would be the best team to crack the code? If they come out and they have a field day against the Giants in a second meeting, I think that's got to give you a ton of confidence about where they are as a program, how good they are offensively, and how sustainable what they're doing is. Whereas I'll go to the flip side of that, mm-hmm. and you tell me if you disagree. If they play the Giants this weekend and they score 10 points and they only have 9 first downs, let's say, and it's their biggest clunker of the year since week one, I think part of the dialogue on Monday is going to be, did the Giants, in the second time seeing this thing, have an answer key that nobody else had.
Yeah, they have a blueprint. Yeah.
So I think a win against the Giants quells, that fear for me.
Squashes it a bit, yeah.
It doesn't have to rear its head if I see them handle their business.
I like that. That makes sense. It's also a good point because this is the first time they'll have played someone two times. They've got a couple opponents that they're going to play twice in short order when you think about the way the division games work, starting middle of November, Philly and Dallas. Then 3 weeks later, it's Philly, Atlanta, and Dallas to close the season out. So, yeah, they're going to do this dance a couple of times. And it'll be interesting to see the adjustments that are made and how well the Giants play defensively against Washington. Because, again, they had a lot of success, the Giants did, especially in that first half, getting after Jaden Daniels and sacking him a handful of times. That was a huge deal. And then Washington cleaned that up, however they did it. Hopefully that kind of continues and you keep the pressure off. But I think that's essential when it comes to it. If the Giants find a way to slow down Robinson, Eckler, and company and get into that passing down feeding frenzy, we could have an ugly game.
All right, flip side. And maybe that matters how they lost. Mm-hmm. But if they lose this game, we just said they're above the referendum. You just shrugging your shoulders and on to the next?
Yeah, I'm going to be annoyed. I'll say bummer. But if it's getting old, there's context. Depends on how it happens, of course. But thinking of the standard ways you could lose, like had they dropped that Bears game, I'd have been like, I'm annoyed about that. But, okay, I'll get over it, right? That's a good team, and they probably should have won the game, and they went toe-to-toe and ended up letting one slip away. Bummer. This one, I hate losing to the Giants just because I think we need to hate the Giants more as a fan base, get back to hating them again like we did in the 80s. But this Giants team isn't good. They're looking for a reason to move on to greener pastures. They're gross, and giving them some of that solace and sustaining it would be really, really irritating. But, yeah, I think I'll be able to get over it just in terms of how good this team actually is, talking about Washington.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. If they lose to the Giants and play well in the process, first of all, can you play well and lose to the Giants?
Tough needle to thread with this one.
I don't know if there's a runway big enough to land that plane on. It's going to be hard for me to feel good about their performance if they lose to the Giants. Like, in a 33-30 game, yeah, the offense was great, and they hummed, and they got up and down the field. The defense gave up 30-plus to Daniel Jones in New York. In a 23-20 squeaker, same thing, where maybe you made some plays on offense, but you obviously didn't do enough.
Yeah.
And the defense, wasn't opportunistic. But I think if it's a stinker, I'm just going to say that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's possible more damage can be done if there's an injury or something else like that. But assuming you get out of the game pretty healthy in a loss, for me, football happened.
Yeah.
And I am on to Pittsburgh, and that, to me, is the really more telling game. We just had a caller. I thought it was really smart. End of last segment. He basically said, I'll consider them legitimate when they beat a good team. Well, that means, frankly, there's nothing they can really gain by playing the Giants this weekend, in his mind, because they should beat them. Hopefully there's nothing they can lose either, but he needs to see them beat Pittsburgh or beat Philly, and those games are coming in the next couple weeks.
And so I know it's dangerous in the NFL, like the transitivity rules, which are always so dangerous, where you go, well, this team beat that team by 20, so therefore if you don't, you're not good.
Oh, yeah, you could, like, play that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game to say, like,
yeah,
basically the Browns are the best team in football.
Yeah, and I remember once I was doing that with my buddy when he was playing college football at 1AA Davidson, and they beat a team that beat a team that beat a D1 team that also beat Wisconsin. And he goes, so we're the fourth best team in the country.
Right.
As a joke.
Well, the bit for here in D.C., this was, Washington for many years did a thing where they would, beat the
yes.
team that won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And if so facto, this team, they beat this team that won the Super Bowl.
This 5-11 team was actually the Super Bowl winner.
So much of that.
Right. So you run into trouble doing that. But again, these just offering a very brief data point here. The Giants, when they played Philadelphia, a team that's now starting to play well and mirrors Washington in a number of ways, it wasn't close. It was a shellacking. It was 28-3, and it probably wasn't even that close. Right? That would go a long way. Right? A team that you've already played close once, that the game was weird for whatever reason. You got in the red zone and you just, we forgot snap counts and couldn't get right. If you do what Philadelphia just did, it'll I think it's validating. It just feels a lot better, right, versus escaping.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D on the Fan. Let's get to our player to lock in on. Each and every week, we pick one player going into a game presented by our friends at Baldino's Lock and Key, your one-stop shop for auto keys and fobs. Visit Baldino's.com. Who are you going to put the binoculars on Sunday?
You and me both called this one. I think Brian Robinson has a massive day in this one. I think this is Brian Robinson thump early, Brian Robinson thump middle, and Brian Robinson thump late. I think that's where this game is going to be won by Washington. I think it's a physical push-you-around game. We're not letting you get to the pass rush. We're going to dominate your butt, and when you get sick of it, we'll maybe give you some misdirection and go around the end so we can come back to Brian Robinson thumping.
This one's pretty easy for me. It's Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman is going to start. Brandon Coleman did not practice fully this week because of the concussion. He has played about 50% of snaps in the games that he's played in. It's been a legit timeshare at left tackle. Cornelius Lucas is out. He has been ruled out with his ankle problem. Coleman is probably going to play 100% of snaps at left tackle. That has not happened yet. Get tested, young man. I would love for this to be a soft landing spot against a team without an elite edge rusher. That is not what's going to happen. Brian Burns is one of the better pass rushers in the league. He has a sack in 4 straight games, and in 5 of his last 6 games, the Giants traded a boatload to bring him over to impact games like this one. Brian Burns against Brandon Coleman won't be the matchup on every play, but will be on a lot of plays. And I think it is a matchup Washington has to find a way to win. They will help him with Ben Sinnott, with John Bates, with chipping backs like Austin Ekeler. But my eyes are going to be glued to Coleman, because I think this is a chance for him to take this job in perpetuity. Respectfully to Cornelius Lucas, it has felt all season like they are ramping up Coleman.
Yeah.
The workload is growing and growing and growing. It's kind of stagnated at the 50% of snaps. But if he goes out, has a really good game, shuts Burns out in terms of sacks or quarterback hits, just looks the part as a starting left tackle against a pretty stellar pass rusher, maybe we've seen the final split time game of the season and he becomes their left tackle moving forward as a first year player, as a third round pick, which would be a massive win for this front office led by Adam Peters.
Yeah, it's the football geek story of the year, right? I mean, Daniel, we talked about it yesterday. Daniel's going to get every headline, and rightfully so. Having a quarterback matters an awful lot. But if this front office, the Adam Peters handsome crew, that's what I'm calling them, I made that up. The handsome crew.
Wow.
If they go, not only did we get our franchise quarterback, but in the third round with the 67th pick or whatever it was, we got ourselves a guy that half the league thought was a guard, and it turns out he's our franchise left tackle. 31 teams wrong, us so calmly correct. That's one of those, like, I could do no wrong, buy a lottery ticket today, type draft moves. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good one, obviously, because, as you said, he hasn't done this yet. He's played and played well. There's some great highlight videos of him and that Cincinnati game going up against Trey Hendrickson, and he's had some great moments already. This is your chance to kind of take the gig. You don't wish ill will on Cornelius Lucas. I know he's banged up, but this may be the time anyway. Like, this was around the time when you'd expect that timeshare to no longer be a share. It would be Brandon Coleman time. Well, here's your chance.
Well, how about this rookie class in general, by the way, for Adam Peters early on this year? And I mentioned this in passing at the very beginning of the show with the way they went about drafting and how it's worked out. But the Jaden Daniels pick at number 2 overall looks like a home run to this point. He has been arguably not only the best rookie quarterback in the league, but one of the most successful, efficient, and prolific players in the league. And I don't even think it's like for a rookie anymore. I mean, how many guys would you rank ahead of him tops at that position? He's an MVP candidate, legitimately.
Yeah.
That's a win at number two. You have Johnny Newton at 36, who's kind of buried on the depth chart because he was drafted, frankly, for next year and beyond. Now he's playing. We talked about him earlier. Seven pressures last week. Four quarterback hits. He had a monster game. You've seen Sanders still make huge plays. He's a nickel corner being asked to play outside. Their defense has gotten a lot better since he got a more important role, even at a position. You go deeper down the board, Ben Sinnott is more of a blocker, hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. But I mean, there are players that are flashing, like Luke McCaffrey, who was drafted at 100 overall in the third round. Brandon Coleman, we're talking about becoming a starting left tackle. We haven't really seen Jordan McGee yet.
I was going to say, that was going to be my sleeper. That's a guy they really liked, by the way.
He's going to play a lot in the second half of the season, I guarantee it.
So he's kind of lost in the sauce as they played really well, and he's been injured.
Such a
good
draft
class, though.
But
yeah, that's kind of to your point there.
It's exciting. All right, let's get to our final predictions then. Commanders, Giants going into the weekend. We are just a couple of days from another kickoff. Danny, I will give you the honors initially.
I think it's a gross one. I think it's a dumb game. I don't think it's going to be one of the ones you put on highlight reels. 17-16, Giants lead late. Jaden Daniels, no timeouts left because of clock squandering, and they couldn't do stuff where they got substitutions incorrectly, and everything is weird. I'm going to be annoyed about it. With about a minute left, drives them down the field. Pass complete to Zach Ertz over the middle of the field with 11 seconds left down to the Giant 27. Daniels gets everyone on the line, stops the clock. With four ticks remaining, Austin Seibert trots on for a potential 44-yard game-winning field goal. The kick is up, and it's good. Washington goes to 7-2, and they escape New York with a W.
By the way, if that plays out that way, you and I are skipping the show on Monday, and we're going to Vegas. I mean, the length of the field goal, the time on the clock.
The specificity.
You're giving us all the deets. You've seen this
game. I've already seen it.
You've already watched it.
I've already seen this one.
For me, the game's not going to go that way with Washington winning at the horn. And I want to apologize to people in advance for that. And the reason they're not going to win at the horn is because the game's going to be over well before that. Because the locals are going to beat the Giants fairly handily. I know I keep saying there's a letdown coming. I don't think it's going to be this week. I've got the Commanders winning a 27-17 game. I'm going to say that Terry McLaurin catches a touchdown and goes for 95 yards. Brian Robinson, a 148 on the ground to lead the way. They just run all over the Giants. They take the air out of the ball, and they win by 10. And I don't even think it'll be that close. I think Daniel Jones in New York get a late score to make it look better. Commanders handle their business at the Meadowlands. Come home 7-2, getting ready for a showdown with a Pittsburgh team with just two losses off of a bye. And the town is going to be ready to go for a home game against the Steelers.
Bart Scott said famously once, can't wait.
Yes, he did.
I hope that's the play. I would love your scenario much better than mine. I will take it any way I can get it. I want that W. I need that W. But I don't feel like this is a game that we're going to look back on fondly. You know what I mean? I think this is,
well,
an escape.
Say no more than the line, okay?
Right.
The odds makers generally are not wrong. They don't have this as a 6.5, even a 5.5-point line. I mean, this has all week long been in the 3-3.5 range. It has moved with public money now to 4-point line. You get 2 for being at home.
Mm-hmm.
So odds makers are basically saying Washington's only on a neutral site 5 or 6 points better than the Giants anyway. So they're not completely sold on the blowout ability. I just think we saw it with Cleveland. We saw it with Carolina at home. You say, well, you haven't seen it on the road. What was the Arizona game then? We saw it with the Cardinals. But it is different in the division,
yep.
And you've harped on this all day, and this is very true. For whatever reason, it's always messy with the Giants. There aren't really ever those just aesthetically pleasing, buttoned up, clean games. You never come out, especially there. Remember when the Commanders, with any name at the time, went to the Meadowlands and just played a really good game? It doesn't happen. It's just a weird place with the wind and the grossness and all the people that eat all their, you know, pizza with, you know, with
the crease right in the middle, you fold it.
Yeah, with the folded pizza and the boombots and the reaching over and grabbing the ball out of the glove. You know,
you got to D up.
Do you think that guy's going to be at the game?
Yes.
Oh God, I hope
and they're going to. Please direct your attention to the Jumbotron.
Chach Magoo, the guy that D'd up and grabbed Mookie Betts and committed a minor assault, is here. And they're going to be like, yeah, douche, yeah, that guy. They're going to be so happy.
Chach Magoo, if he's there for the coin toss or something and honored in any way.
Look, they would do the coin toss and he would like grab the referee and try to do it himself.
Trying to be real funny with it.
What a chach.
I definitely think he'll be at the game. You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, just knowing he'll be happy if the Giants win, Washington's never needed to win a game more.
There you go.
This is not even a want. This is a need.
I need it.
If the Giants win, then Chach Magoo, what did you call him?
Chach Magoo.
Yeah, then that guy will be happy. It's so important that he has no joy. That's the most important thing.
Chach Magoo and Goof McGarnacle, his buddy.
We got to thank everybody out here today. What a fun time this was. The hospitality from all the folks at Craft House in Fairfax who have been great making this day seamless and easy for us all day long. All of our listeners who came out over the course of 5 hours. What a blast it was. The Friday field trip has been a smashing success. We're going to be out in Bethesda next week.
From Bethesda.
So Maryland, stand up. It'll be your first chance to answer the bell for the Friday field trip in 1 week on Grant and Danny. But thank you to everybody who came out today. It's been a lot of fun. All of you for listening. Back in studio, our production crew, including Vic Tobes out here, Darris, Money Metal Chris. It sounds like we have like 100 people working on this show.
It's like a big, huge show. We got like the Dan Patrick situation where there's like 90 people making it sound good.
We're like the ESPN traveling roadshow for College Game Day. Just a crew of dozens, trucks full of people. We're spending millions on this broadcast.
There's so much money being spent.
Pat McAfee has his shirt off yelling for some reason.
Right.
I'm not really sure why.
Interrupting Lee Corso.
Lee Corso's here putting on
a headdress.
I love Lee Corso.
I do too.
I do want to say we're thinking about you, Pete.
Yeah, here.
And family. To the Medhursts, we're behind you. Any way we can help, you know that over at 106.7 The Fan. We got your back. We love Pete. And we're thinking and praying about him. Let's go get a win for Pete this weekend. Commanders, why not? Thanks for listening. Linnell's got overtime next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.